It's not how good you are. It's how good you want to be. It's not how good you are. It's how good you want to be. Author, Paul Arden. It's Not How Good You Are is a concise guide to make the most of yourself. A pocket Bible for the talented and timid to make the unthinkable thinkable and the impossible possible. Why do we strive for excellence when mediocrity is required? Imagine a world where all clients were wonderful, where we could produce whatever we felt like, with no restrictions, with everybody having freedom to produce all their fantasies unfettered by tedious clients. What would we do? We'd react against it, saying, "Isn't this boring? How can we be so dull? Let's do it badly, let's make it ugly, and let's make it really cheap." All creative people need something to rebel against. It's what gives their lives excitement, and it's creative people who make the clients' lives exciting. You can achieve the unachievable. I want to be as famous as Priscilla Automatic, Victoria Beckham. As a teenager, Victoria Beckham's ambition was not just to be better than her mates or to be a famous singer, but to become a world brand. She not only dreamed about it, but wanted it enough to get it. That makes her different from most of us. It's not how good she was that mattered. It's how good she wanted to be. What's interesting in her quote is that she didn't compare herself with George Michael or Mariah Carey. Rather, she saw the fame of Priscilla Automatic as her yardstick. Laugh at it as you may, it's this highly original imagination that got her where she is today. Have you noticed how the cleverest people at school are not those who make it in life? People who are conventionally clever get jobs on their qualifications, not on their desire to succeed. Very simply, they get overtaken by those who continually strive to be better than they are. As long as the goal is there, there's no limit to anyone's achievement. Do not seek praise, seek criticism. It is quite easy to get approval if we ask enough people, or if we ask those who are likely to tell us what we want to hear. So if you've produced a pleasantly acceptable piece of work, you'll have proof to yourself that it's good simply because others have said so. If instead you ask, "What's wrong with it? How can I make it better?" you're more likely to get a truthful, critical answer. You may even get an improvement on your idea. It's all my fault. If you're involved in something that goes wrong, never blame others. Blame no one but yourself. If you accept responsibility, you're in a position to do something about it. Do not covet your ideas. You'll remember from school other students preventing you from seeing their answers by placing their arm around their exercise books or exam paper. It's the same at work. People are secretive with ideas. Don't tell them that. They'll take credit for it, they'll say. The problem with hoarding is you end up living off your reserves. Eventually, you become stale. If you give away everything you have, you're left with nothing. This forces you to look, to be aware, and to replenish. Somehow, the more you give away, the more it comes back to you. Don't look for the next opportunity. The one you have in hand is the opportunity. You're probably working on a job or project right now saying, "This is boring. Let's just deal with it and get over with it. We'll make the next one good." We're always waiting for the perfect brief moment from the perfect client, but it never happens. Good briefs don't just come along. That's true, even if you earned a reputation for doing good work, although that helps. Successful solutions are often made by people rebelling against bad beliefs. Accentuate the positive. Find out what's right about your product or service, and then dramatize it, like a cartoonist exaggerates an action. For example, you know a horse can jump a ditch. Therefore, you accept that it can jump the Grand Canyon. The realization accelerated my career faster than anything I have learned since. Providing there's a basic truth in your idea, you can dramatize it to infinity. Eliminate the negative. Avoid knocking the competition. it usually serves to publicize them rather than you. It may win attention, it may win awards, but the likelihood is that it won't win sales. Do not put your cleverness in front of the communication. Good ideas do not always come along. Great ideas, even less often. In their need to prove their worth, creative people often produce work which on the surface appears clever, but has little substance. Instead of trying to find a quick fix, if they were to spend time finding out what the problem was, they would discover the solution. In other words, if you ask the right question, you get the right answer. Don't promise what you can't deliver. When selling our ideas, we tend to overpromise in our enthusiasm for our creation, in our vision of how we hope it will be. We leave no room for failure. The result will probably be disappointing. If instead you undersell, pointing out the possible weaknesses and how to resolve them, should they occur, you're not only building a trusting relationship with your client, but you're able to solve any problems. And if it doesn't turn out the way you hope, it's a bonus. Know your client's aims. Most clients are corporate people protecting their own mortgages. They mistakenly see ideas as a risk rather than an advancement to their careers. Therefore, their motivation may be quite different from their brief to you. Find out what the client's real objective is. All clients aspire to status, to be a chairman of the company, owner of a football club, or simply a butterfly collector. These aspirations will never be put into the brief, of course. What do you do when your client won't buy? A client often has a fair idea of what he wants. If you show him what you want and not what he wants, he'll say that's not what he asked for. If, however, you show him what he wants first, he's then relaxed and is prepared to look at what you want to sell him. You've allowed him to become monogamous instead of putting him in a corner. Give him what he wants, and he may well give you what you want. Don't take no for an answer. We'd been pitching for a sizable and important government account. We were in a competition with 5 other companies. At 5 p.m. one Wednesday evening, we were told we were not on the shortlist of 3. The client gave us reasons why. Normally, we say, well, tough, on to the next one. Not this time, though. By 8 a.m. next morning, we had a completely new concept addressing the negatives he had found in the first one. At 9 a.m. it was presented. On Friday evening, we heard we had won the business. It was a good weekend. When it can't be done, do it. If you don't do it, it doesn't exist. A new idea can be either unfamiliar or silly, or both. It can be judged by description. It needs to be done to exist. It is unlikely that anyone will sanction the cost of something they don't understand. Therefore, you have no choice but to do it yourself, at whatever cost. You may have to beg, steal, or borrow to get it done. But that's for you to work out how you do it. The person who doesn't make mistakes is unlikely to make anything. At the last company I worked for, you wouldn't be fired for being wrong, but you'd be fired for not having initiative. It had a positive attitude to mistakes. It was a great company. Failure was a major contributor to success. It's wrong to be right. If you can prove you're right, you're set in concrete. You cannot move with the times or with other people. Being right is also being boring. Your mind is closed. You're not open to new ideas. You're rooted in your own rightness, which is arrogant. Arrogance is a valuable tool, but only if used very sparingly. Worst of all, being right has a tone of morality about it. To be anything else sounds weak or fallible, and people who are right would hate to be thought fallible. It's right to be wrong. Start being wrong and suddenly anything is possible. You're no longer trying to be infallible. You're in the unknown. There's no way of knowing what can happen. But there's more chance of it being amazing if you try to be right. Of course, being wrong is a risk. People worry about suggesting stupid ideas because of what others will think. You'll be in meetings where new thinking has been called for, at your original suggestion. Instead of saying, "That's the kind of suggestions that leads us to novel situation," the room goes quiet. They look up to the ceiling, roll their eyes, and return to the discussion. Don't be afraid of silly ideas. We all get mental blocks. If you're in a deadlock, here are a couple of tricks you might try. 1. Do the opposite of what the solution requires. 2. Look out of the window and whatever catches your eye, a bird, a television aerial, an old man on crutches or whatever, make that the solution to your problem. Don't give a speech. Put on a show. In a song, we remember firstly the melody, and then we learn the words. Instead of giving people the benefit of your wit and wisdom, try painting them a picture. The more strikingly visual your presentation is, the more people will remember it. More importantly, they'll remember you. Getting fired can be a positive career move. I've been fired 5 times, and each time my career took a step forward. Being fired used to be a negative on your CV or resume. Now some headhunters find it an asset because it can show initiative. So how good do you want to be? All of us want to be good at our jobs, but how good do we really want to be? Everybody wants to be good, but not many are prepared to make the sacrifices it takes to be great.